Santa scarf, with cap held out to cafe patrons. In another photo taken in 1975, we see him at a table in that same cafe, in that same square, as unknown English boy strums his guitar in front of him. Recalling his own story, Dave presses a coin into the strolling musician's hand. The magazine comments, "Dave's revenge." Now he stretches a hand the other way and adds, "He knows but that the future might give the English guitarist what the present has brought Dave." The reader should not lose hope, but do and dare, and believe in his lucky star. Incidentally, more about stars. Not stars of stage and screen, but stars in the sky, which can also help, it seems. The January issue of Podium provides a horoscope for all born under the sign of Capricorn, that is, between December 22nd and January 21st. We are confidently told that Capricorns are realists with both feet firmly planted on the ground. Capricorns are advised, "You are persistent, patient, and even a bit obstinate. You always go forward to your goal. You look far ahead and spare no effort to get what you want. Your main traits are perseverance and pluck. You get what you want, whatever the cost, to the surprise of all hoping for easy success. Two, this year, right up to autumn, Saturn will stand in your way. You must be patient. Even hindrances from Jupiter should not discourage you. You appreciate most of all the saying that where there's a will, there's a way. You need proof? Here it is. Youth idol Francois Hardy is a Capricorn. But suppose a boy or girl who reads Podium or Hit is an Aquarius. It's just as good. Mike Brandt is also an Aquarius. Mick Jagger is a Virgo. Sheila, a Leo. Alain Delon, a Scorpion. Johnny Halliday, a Gemini. And Brigitte Bardot, a Libra. In short, there's a star for every sign. But suppose the reader has neither voice nor ear. That's nothing to be unhappy about. You're going to identify in other ways. Claude Jerome complains in a letter to Podium that he's lonely. The magazine cautiously asks, "Does that mean your heart's free?" When the answer comes in the affirmative, it bluntly asks, "What sort of girls do you like?" Claude is not particular. It doesn't matter if she's blonde or brunette, so long as she's charming and gay. The magazine wonders whether Claude won't be taken aback by all the letters he might get from girls after these answers are published. That doesn't embarrass Claude at all. On the contrary, "I'll be very happy," he writes, "and will try to answer every letter I get. Maybe in one I'll find the girl of my dreams. And the girl, too, will find her prince charming." Since Podium circulation runs into 3.5 million, Claude Jerome's chances seem to be pretty good, which cannot be said of the thousands of girls. But that's no cause for worry either. If your star doesn't come to you, then go to your star, as the groupie does. The Soleil Le Copain's Encyclopedia explains that a groupie is an astonishing type of girl whose main purpose in life is to be at every show and rehearsal of her favorite performer and to be with him everywhere. Groupies are always found backstage at the Olympia and at the hotels where performers stay. They hitchhike hundreds of miles to follow their idol. They assume their heroes, amuse their heroes when they are tired. The encyclopedia furnishes a whole heap of information. Thus, we're told that the guitar is the basic instrument in pop music and a symbol of today's young people. That hashish is extracted from the leaves of Indian hemp, and that doctors are still undecided about potential health dangers. That a Harley Davidson motorbike symbolizes Hell's Angels and rockers, and so on and so forth. We even find some political concepts few and far between. For instance, war The encyclopedia defines roar as a fiendish human invention, which everyone condemns, but in which everyone takes part. Despite the pacifist movement and celebrated make love, not war motto, there's always war. Let's hope that new generations will be more sensible and give up wars. There you are, a fiendish invention will be a more sensible, will give up wars, but not a word about the causes of war, which is all quite logical and natural. After all, the aim of Salut Les Copains and similar publications is precisely to keep away from politics. Leave politics to the politicians. Just sing and make love. True, now and again, politics does intrude. Nadine Jouissot writes to Salut Les Copains from Nantes that she has taken part in every contest and always turns to the page giving the list of winners, but could not find it in the latest issue. She is told that she probably forgot the six-week strike of French postal and telegraph workers, which prevented the magazine from getting quiz answers and listing the winners in time. The magazine tries to help young people forget such things as politics, crises, inflation, unemployment, and strikes. Suppose they go in for self-improvement, say, strive to resemble their idols or stars. You find Stone charming and want to look like her? Podium puts the question. Don't worry, a few words of practical advice and everything will be okay. They'll follow drawings and photographs telling you how to do your hair, use eyeshadow, lipstick, and powder, all in order to look like Stone. Girl readers spend hours in front of the mirror powdering noses and putting on lipstick. And boys, too, recently 400-odd young people sent in their photographs to show that they were the spitting image of John Halliday. In short, the magazine gradually develops into the young reader's father figure and friend, telling him how to think and act. The main aim of advertising is not to popularize the commodity, but to condition mentality, desire, and need. But how can this be done? By using superstar Michael Polnareff as a model, for instance, or telling readers to follow the example of Patrick Gervais. Hitt invites young readers to visit his country villa, scanning its pages and seeing Patrick with the things he loves, his fireplace with its cracking logs, his creamy white telephone, his oval couch, his TV, tape recorder, and amplifiers. Yet another magazine tells us, as it describes film star Alain Delon's Dolce Vita, that he's an anti-communist. This is the Paris Match, an illustrated magazine for adults, which along with certain other Western news media, attempts to scare the babbits with the communist threat. It is the youth magazine that breeds that babbitry. It was not at all coincidental that most youth magazines, such as Podium or Hit, appeared after the tempestuous days in May 1968 in Paris, when the architects of Western ideology realized it was too dangerous to allow young people to drift. No wonder the ideologists of bourgeois seek to establish a sanitary zone between young people and politics, to instill through the mass media definite tastes and needs, to implant consumer attitudes. The class meaning of this attempt is clear. In the realm of labor, people are split into property owners and wage earners, and the awareness of this fact inevitably generates conflict between them, whereas in the realm of consumption, class interests are often swamped beneath the overall consumer interest. Then it becomes fairly simple to convince a young man that when he wears the kind of suit or tie that multimillionaires Rothschild or Dassault wear, he's more or less like them, and that it is in his interest not to fight the Rothschilds and Dassault, but try to catch up with them. As those simple people, Johnny Halliday, Sylvie Vartan, Michael Delpech, and Mike Brandt did. The views instilled into the minds of young people by the youth and children's magazines often develop into a distinct philosophy as the boys and girls mature.